So the, as we've said several times, the majority of the rest of the parak is really focused on halacha with shrita in the middle of that. But the truth is that we have seen halacha come up at different points in the parak. So I want to try to understand halacha's nature before we get into the machlokot that we have in the Gemara about, you know, efshar levatla, yefshar levatla, and the like. I want to understand halacha. Now, I know that this year is very frustrating for Israel Isaac, but as we said at the beginning of the year, despite the fact that people in yeshivot often don't spend time on this, and you know, they don't find it interesting, or they think we've lost the Masorah, or whatever. Understanding how things emerge from the Psukim is important. And in order to get an idea of what's going on with Halacha, well, we need to... Yeah, we need to understand, because here the Gemara has this very strange connection between Halacha and Kabbalah, but obviously if we're about to go into the question of, you know, to what extent is halacha in avoda? Is it not? Is it a different type of avoda? Well, we need to understand, well, where do we learn halacha from? Because otherwise, you know, what are we doing, right? How are we figuring it out? So I'm sorry. Is it frustrating? Yes. Yes, it is. Okay, but let's do a little chazara here, get some background, and then try to figure it out. So if I asked you, first of all, right off the bat, is halacha in avoda? What would you say?
Yeah, no.
Yes. Why would you say it is? I know this is crazy, but why would you say it is? Very good, because the Mishnah consistently refers to it as one of the avodah, right? Right? And what I gave you on Yud Gimel, that was the Mishnah that we'd already seen. That's the Mishnah that we are building on. The Mishnah on Yud Gimel says... Or if you want to open a Mishnah, but this is just easier because I know you have Gemaras with you. HaPesach v'achata sheshachton shelo lishman v'kibel v'halach hazark shelo lishman. Olishman v'shelo lishman, shelo lishman v'lishman, psula. Right? So we saw that HaPesach, achata, if at any point in the process you do it lo lishma, so it's pasul. And we in the examples are if you do Kabbalah or Halacha for one, etc. Ketzat lishman v'shelo lishman, l'shem Pesach, l'shem shalom, shelo lishman, l'shem shalom. And the Tanakhama says, yeah, because the karban can be invalidated through four avodot, b'shchita, b'kibul, b'hiluch, b'zrika. The four avodot that we've talked about always, which is shechting, catching the blood, conveying the blood towards the mizbeach, and then sprinkling the blood. I realize we actually haven't done Kabbalah. I have a source sheet ready on Kabbalah, but we're going to have to go back to it. Rabbi Shimon machshir behiluch. Right, and again, the major sugya on the next daf is, well, at first glance, we would say, well, this makes a lot of sense. These are four avodah. However, as we're going to see, at least two of them are going to be called into question. Shrita and halacha. Our overarching question that we're going to come at from very many angles as we go through these sugyot is, how can the Gemara, the Mishnah here, challenged the notion that halacha is an avoda, and later the Gemara is going to challenge the notion that shechita is an avoda, meaning there are only four avoda. If two of them might not be really avoda, right, we're really, right, in what sense do we mean that? But we're introduced here to Shimon's position, that Shimon machshir b'hiluch shaya omer, yefshar shalom b'shechita v'shalom b'kabbalah v'shalom b'zvi kabbal, efshar b'lo hiluch shochet b'zad mizbeach v'zorek. Shimon says, halacha can invalidate because you could do without it, because you could just shech close enough to the mech, you don't need to physically convey. And again, we're going to see in the Gemara is going to try to figure out what is the nikudat machloke between Rav Shimon and the Tanakhama. Is it the question of whether it's efshar levatla? Is it in fact indispensable? Or is dispensability relevant for the definition of something in as navoda? Really, as Omar Hamahalech, but Makom to Tzarch Lalech Machshava Posel, Makom to Tzarch Lalech in Machshava Posel. And Rabbi Eliezer says that what? That it's only when it's practically indispensable that the Machshava matters, right? So you have three shita. One is that it is always essential. The second position is that because it isn't always essential, therefore, in principle, it is dispensable. And therefore, machshava doesn't matter. And then Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't care about theoretical necessity, but practical necessity, that indicates when it's practically necessary, so then it is the machshava matters, and if not, not. Okay, we saw that Mishnah. In this Mishnah, so if I asked you, is it clear that is halacha in avoda? What would you say? Okay, well, help me a little bit here. Okay, so at one level you just say yes, because it's listed here. Then what would you do with the fact that there's a machloket about whether lishma is necessary, whether machshava is necessary? So there's, as we're going to see, there's two directions you could take, which is either the fact that it's dispensable, right? Well, go back. The Tanakhama says that you always have to have machshava, which either is because he thinks it's indispensable, or because he says that machshava is relevant during an avoda, and it's an avoda whether or not it's dispensable, right? Right? Then you have a Rishon Shimon who says because it's dispensable, so machshava isn't relevant. And obviously, what question are we going to need to ask within Rav Shimon? Right, meaning, is it that, what is his rule? Is his rule that only avodot that are indispensable need have the halacha of machshava? But halacha is clearly an avoda. But lishma uniquely requires more than something being an avoda. It needs to be an indispensable avoda. And if that's the case, then for other manifestations of the concept of something being an avoda, we would expect him to say it is an avoda. Right? Meaning if this is a localized claim, that he's not denying it's an avoda. He just thinks that lishma is tied to dispensability or an indispensability, then for all other purposes, holacha will be an avoda. Or alternatively, he thinks that the definition of avoda is an indispensable right in the process of bringing a korban. In which case, Rav Shimon would be claiming it isn't an avoda, and we would expect to see broader implications of the fact that holacha is dispensable. Not just lishma, but other things, if you think that he is denying that it's an avoda. And same by Rabbi Eliezer, except not theoretical dispensability, but practical dispensability. But at some level, that would be the weirdest, because if you think that it goes by practical dispensability, but he thinks it's not an avoda, right? That means it could be an avoda if you wanted it to be, right? You don't need to do the avoda. When you do it, it is an avoda or something.
Or it means that somehow it's possible for a non-service thing.
Sure, or that. Sure, and that's what we're going to see. Okay, so that's our mission, and that's why we're getting into this sugya. But if you remember, this sugya is actually quite surprising, because if you remember all the way earlier in the year when we did Dav Dalet, which we spent a lot of time on Dav Dalet, if you remember. On Dav Dalet, the Gemara there is asking, how do you know you need lishma by other avodo? Right? Shechita. So Gemara says, Ashlan kulhu. So I have now found a source for all the avodo that they need lishma, except for halacha. Halacha minalan. Right? So the Gemara says, V'chi tema leilef mikulu. And maybe you'll say, just learn it from the other avodot. Stop. Why would you say that once we know that the other three avodot need lishma and can't have lo lishma, that halacha should be derived from that? What's the logic? Because it's an avoda. We just proved that you need lishma, you need machshava by the avodot. Halacha is an avoda. Right? The Gemara then pushes back and says, no. But all the other three are indispensable, and this is dispensable. Tomar behalacha shev shalavatla. So what about halacha shev shalavatla? Which again, based on what we saw in our Gemara, you could read in one of two ways, which is either the fact that it's dispensable shows that it's not an avoda, and therefore obviously it doesn't necessarily have the same halacha as the other three, or despite the fact that it's clearly an avoda, maybe lishma is somehow tied to dispensability. So the Gemara then says, you're right, halacha is sufficiently different from the other three avodot that you can't derive directly from the other three avodot that they need lishma, that halacha needs lishma. So ela amar kra, so instead we derive it from the following. The pasuk says, v'kriv et hakol hamizbeicha. You should bring all of it to the mizbeach. This is yet another sugya that we have to get to, right? My plan basically for the end, for what I'm hoping to get through before we finish, is halacha, shchita lavavodehi, halacha reivarem, and hopefully go back to Kabbalah. Okay, those four. Right, that's a lot. V'ikrivenagom is beichav, amar mar, zu halacha reivarem lakevish. Okay, that's the bringing of the limbs to the mizbeach. Okay? We'll get to that. V'tanya, and the Braita says, v'ikrivu, and you shall bring it zu kabalatada. This is Kabbalah. This is the catching of the blood. The afek rachmana biloshon halacha lemeimra de halacha lo tafka michal Kabbalah. So this is among the strangest drasha that I have ever encountered in my life, which is, how do we know that halacha is either A, avoda, or B, in avoda for the purposes of lishma, right, whatever exactly is being negotiated here, is because the pasuk says, and you shall bring it. That is, now if I said, so now if I asked you, okay, Israel Isaac, you are, imagine for a moment, okay, don't take any offense to this, that you are of this, the many sects in the history of Judaism that believed in sola scriptura, okay? And you were reading the psukim without the benefit of chazal. Can we imagine this for a moment? You're not offended? Okay. Okay, good. So I asked you to read Leviticus 1:5. I asked you to read Vayikra Aleph Hei. Read Vayikra Aleph Hei for me. Okay, good. So let me read this pasuk. V'shachad et ben ha-bakar lifnei Adonai, v'hikrivo b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim et Adam, v'zarku et Adam al mizbeach saviv asher pedoch ha-moed. Now, if I was asking you based on this pasuk to tell me what ritual acts count as avodot, what would they be based on this pasuk? V'shachad et ben ha-bakar lifnei Hashem, shchita. V'hikrivo b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim et Adam. Halacha. V'zarku et Adam al mizbeach saviv, and then you shall bring it, zrika. So which of, so if I then had a parallel list, which said shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, yeah, and I asked you, which of these four is the most likely to be not an avoda? Kabbalah, very good. Except, which of them does the Gemara think is the least obvious? Halacha. Do we have a problem? Now, it's not just that. That's, one second. This is a problem. Or so far, is this a problem? Right? Meaning, it's not just, it's like the Gemara created a problem. The Gemara created a problem. If I read the pasuk, and I just told you that anything that is essential in bringing the karban is called an avoda with all of the ramifications, and I gave you that pasuk and I asked you to identify the avodot, I think most of us would have jumped at shchita, holacha, and zrika. Because the pasuk says, v'shachad ben abakar, shechting, that's shchita, v'hikriv, which is, v'hikrivu, which is bring it, what we call halacha, and v'zarku et adam. So if I was identifying avodot, I would know of three. If you then told me Kabbalah was also an avoda, I might be led to believe that if it's an avoda, it's the lesser avoda. Except the Gemara doesn't. What does the Gemara do? It says, this is like mind-boggling. The Gemara says, v'krivu means Kabbalah, not halacha, right? It primarily means Kabbalah, not halacha. So then how do I know that halacha is an avoda? Now this is a wild, do you understand how bizarre this Russia is? Right? You know, I want you to revel in how weird this is for just a moment, which is, we have a pasuk. It provides the source explicitly for three avodot. The Gemara accepts the notion that it provides evidence of three avodot, but says that one of them that you think is there, namely halacha, is not there. It's really Kabbalah, the thing that says, and you shall walk the blood from the Shechita to the Mizbeach, which is undeniably, those words in English are the same as halacha. You shall convey the blood. That is halacha. We say, no, that word means Kabbalah. And therefore, the primary three avodah that are mentioned in the Pasuk are Shechita Kabbalah Zrika. Halacha is the one that is no longer explicit. Then how do I know it's an avodah? Because halacha lo tavke miklal kabbalah. We use a language that implies halacha to identify kabbalah to tell you that halacha is important, but as a derivative of kabbalah. I'm sorry. I'm just reading the Gemara. Right? Yes? No? This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Vishachtu min shchita, zvika min zvika, very easy. I have a third word. It says convey, which is what we call halacha, which means that if I had anything, I would guess that. Now, I will ask you very simply. Do you think that Kabbalah, if I didn't have a pasuk, if I just read that, would you have come up with Kabbalah by yourself? Thank you, Israel Isaac. Of course you would have come up with the Kabbalah. Why? How in God's name are you supposed to get the blood that's coming out of the neck of the animal to the Mizbeach if you don't catch it first? So the Gemara had a very easy path here, which was the Pasuk says, Shechita Halacha and Zrika, and Kabbalah is self-evident, because if you ever shechted an animal, which I haven't, but still, even if you imagine shechting an animal... Is it evident? No, the Gemara says it's not evident because you could shech next to the Mizbeach. And therefore you don't need to take it there, it's already there. You're not shechting and taking the blood vessels and shooting it like a water gun. What are you, out of your mind? Right? So the amazing thing is that the Gemara had an easy path here. Right? As Israel Isaac correctly notes, the Gemara could have very easily derived the four avodot from this pasuk in a very self-evident way. No? It could have said, shtita is derived from the word v'shachat, holacha is word from the word from v'hikrivu, zrika is from zrika, and kabbalah is misvara, because you need to catch the blood. Now, you could argue one of two things. You could either go Israel Isaac's direction and say, the fact that kabbalah is self-evident means the Torah didn't have to say it, but since it's obviously essential, it is an avodah. And then I would have a very easy path to four avodot, which is what Israel Isaac said. Or you could, shalom.
Is that even if you're going to say that it's logically necessary in order to bring the carbon, you wouldn't necessarily say that the form of it in terms of it being done by a Kohen and then.
Okay, good. So Shlomo says, but wait a second. I have to get into the Gemara's head, which is why did the Gemara not take the easy path? Which is Israel Isaac's, which is I have three avodah which are here. Take those as a given, and then say Kabbalah is derived misvara. Why didn't the Gemara? Right? The Gemara very pointedly messes with your head and says, no, the word that you think provides the source for halacha actually provides the source for Kabbalah, and halacha is derived from it because we use a language that sounds like halacha to talk about Kabbalah. And that trick, the fact that the Torah goes out of the way to mess with your head, proves that the word that the avodah sounds like is an avodah, but as a derivative of Kabbalah. So Shlomo is like, why would I do such a thing? So Shlomo says very simply, because you might have thought that the fact that Kabbalah is essential doesn't prove it's an avodah, it proves it's essential. It doesn't prove, right? But it doesn't prove, because Kabbalah being an avodah has implications beyond the fact that it must be done. For example, Kabbalah needs to be done by a Kohen. In theory, you could have said that you just put, I don't know, a bathtub on the floor, right? And you let the blood just fall into it, and you don't need it to be done as a Maisa Avoda. If I want Kabbalah not just to exist, but to exist as a Maisa Avoda, which with all of the implications, meaning a Kohen has to do it in a Kli, and not just the blood falls on the floor and then I somehow get it there, or that, you know, the blood falls into a, you know, a wagon, right? A bathtub on wheels that I then move toward, right? If I want Kabbalah to not just be practically the blood needs to be caught, but it needs to, wants to be an avoda, then I need a pasuk for it. All right. But one second. That's the limbs. Okay. So now we are in this strange place, which is why is our mission and our Gemara debating the status of halacha of all the avodot and not, let's say, Kabbalah? The answer is because you realize at least part of it is because the Gemara doesn't believe that there's a pasuk that explicitly talks about halacha, even though there is. Because we reread the pasuk of halacha to really be about Kabbalah, and then halacha is just a derivative of Kabbalah. Okay? Yeah, am I wrong? Am I wrong in having read the Gemara?
I didn't hear wrong.
Okay, good. Please, if I'm wrong, please tell me.
I wouldn't per se Jamie Leviticus 1:5 referring to the Kohen and
No, they don't. No, they don't. They say that's halacha evarim. We're talking about halacha dam.
So why would they say that at all?
Because it's the brayta. It's the whole brayta. They just quote the whole brayta. Maybe, but we'll get to halacha evarim. But seemingly not. Yes. Let's see what we're doing. Okay, so what we need to do is figure out what is going on in this drasha. And how did the Gemara get to this point such that halacha is the avoda that we question its validity because it's the one that's not explicit in the Torah?
Yeah.
Even though it is, but we say it isn't by rereading it. And in order to make that move, Chazal had to do what? Make halacha a subsection of Kabbalah, and we need to figure out how seriously did you mean that? Right? How seriously do you really mean what it sounds like, which is that there's only 3.5 avodot, or 3 avodot, one of which subdivides into 2? Right? Is that really what you mean? Right? That's what the words sound like. Yeah, but is that true? And if it is, how do we get there? Yeah.
The first part of the baraita seems essential to this
drasha.
I'm confused.
It's halachat evarim. These are different.
Yes.
We're talking about halachat hadam.
And I understand that. And it's saying that these two verses have a connection to the Hebrew.
Okay. In the sense that the braita is important, I mean, the whole braita is important, but it only makes the question worse. Because in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we read the word as vihikriv as actually meaning conveying, halacha. Halacha levarim, but we actually think that's what the word means. Right, so in halacha in pasuk he, we're redefining v'ikrivu to be Kabbalah, even though we actually think the word v'ikrivu means conveying, means moving something, like we do in Yud Gimel by halacha levarim. So it only makes it worse, not better.
No, apparently,
correct. Correct. But that is a weird move because you could have just said that what?
That 5
to halacha. Very good. It only makes it worse. Because yes, we know from Aleph Yud Gimel that the word vihikriv means halacha. Means conveying. And yet we reinterpret it in Pasuk He to be Kabbalah, which we use the word of halacha to get to halacha.
I would say, can I
Yes.
I think perhaps one path we can take is to try to understand why Chazal think 5, Leviticus 1:5, is referring to Kabbalah, and then it'll make the connection between those two people make sense.
Yes. But before we get there, I want to make your life worse. Then we'll make it better, okay? Then I'm going to first make your life worse, and that's with the Gemara in Chagiga, okay? The Gemara in Chagiga is going to make your life worse. The Gemara in Chagiga, there's the following Mishnah. Heter nidarim, hatar nidarim, the wiping away of vows, porchin ba'avir, flies in the air, meaning it does not have a biblical anchor in words. Okay? Ve'ein lahem al mashi yismuchu. It has nothing to support it, meaning biblically in the Torah. Hilchot Shabbat. Now, this is zero, meaning zero basis in Torah. Zero. Got it? Parchot ba'avir. That's why they're flying in the air. Hilchot Shabbat. Chagigot v'hami'ilot. The laws of Shabbat. Chagiga, right? The Karban Chagiga. And Mi'ila, the laws of misusing the Beit HaMikdash. Is there a pasuk for Shabbat?
Yes.
Plenty. Does it tell you the content of the laws of Shabbat?
No, except for fire, no.
Exactly. No, except for carrying and fire. Hence, maybe. So the Gemara says, there are psukim, but the entire corpus of the 39 Malachot and all of its derivatives and the Avod and the Tolda, that you have no hints in the Torah, you got to figure it out. Hareihem kehararim hatluyin b'sa'ara. Therefore, there is a biblical anchor, but it's like hanging a mountain on a hair, on a hair. Right? Because Hilchot Shabbat is huge, and right, you think about how many dapim in Shas are devoted to figuring out the Malachot, and then you figure out how many psukim they invoke in that context. Exactly. So there are psukim, but it's a mountain hanging by a hair. Shehein mikra muat, which means there are few psukim, v'halachot merubot, and a lot of laws. Okay. On the other hand, hadinin v'ha'avodot, v'ha'taharot, v'ha'tmeot, but tort law, purity law, and impurity law, and the forbidden sexual unions, they have, they're all basically explicit in the Torah. Think about the Arayot. The Arayot, 98% of what you know about the Arayot is explicit in the Torah. And last week's, we repeat them twice within three prakim of each other in Vayikra.
Yeah, yeah,
right? So, like, if I ask you, how do you know which relatives you can't sleep with? It'll be like, well, because last week I read it in the Parasha, this week I'm reading the Parasha, and on Yom Kippur of all days, we're going to read it again at Mincha. Right? There are all these psukim, and you're just going to read them. Therefore, the hein hein gufei Torah. This is the body of Torah. This is easy. Right? Similarly, Tumah and Tara, plenty of psukim. So the Gemara says, dinen. So now the Gemara challenges this. Right? The Gemara challenges this assessment. Okay? And the Gemara says as follows. Well, let's go through each of your claims. Okay, let's see whether this is true, that the proportion of the laws to the psukim are in fact as you say. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, dinen. Fine, what about dinen? Dinen michtav ktivan. He says, michtav, he says, look, it. What is the line in the Mishnah say that dinin are what? Tort law. Right? Tort laws. Right? So what's the problem? The Gemara says. What? Right, so the Mishnah had said, what are they? The Mishnah just says, yesh mehen amal lismichu. They have something to support them. Gemara's like, that is too weak to explain that they're in the Torah. Yeshua and Elizabeth makes it sound like they have a lot of psukim, but not everything is mefurash. And the Gemara says, no, dinin are like pretty explicit in the Torah. It's more than just Yeshua and Elizabeth means they have support. Gemara says, "Lo nitzrcha l'cha the Rebbe." Titania, Rebbe Omer, nefesh achat, nefesh achat, nefesh, mamon ata omer, mamon oeinu ala nefesh, mamash, nemer nitin lamala, venemer nitin lamala, malala, mamav kam mamon. He says, no, not all of tort law, not all of damages are explicit. For example, the major halacha that we don't actually poke someone's eye out if he pokes some, right, if he pokes someone's eye out, it's not derabanan.
It's not explicit.
It's not explicit. It's a, right? The Pasuk says, Ayin Tai Charai, Nevesh Achat Nevesh, and we say it isn't. Okay? Which means that there are psukim, but there are clearly significant things, which, while they have an anchor, meaning there is a Pasuk, but we need a Gzera Shaveh to tell us that it's mammon and not, right, and not actual, right? Lex Talionis. So it's, Malismichu, it's not explicit. The Gemara says, Avoda. Avoda, also. Why do you say, Yeshem Amal Lismachu? Of all things, Sefer Ayikra is quite explicit about all the Avoda. Lo Nitzrcha Lochar Adam. Gemara says, you're right. What is the Avoda that is not explicit in the Torah? Everything else in Avoda is explicit. What is the one that the best we can say about it has a biblical anchor? The Gemara is so convinced by this that it says, literally, we have a pasuk that says halacha, and the Gemara is so convinced that it means Kabbalah, that it says, of all the avodot, the only one we consider not explicit in the Torah is halacha. It does, and we reinterpret it to mean Kabbalah.
Right. I thought we said that there are two places that it talked about halacha, and one we said it means halacha.
Halachat Evarim. We're not listening. Halachat Evarim. Right? So the Gemara says, V'amar mar, right, sorry, V'afke rachmana b'loshon halacha, Tichtevi, Kriva Kohenna, Kobik, Derem is Bechav, Amar Azuch, Evarim Lekevesh, L'meimra da'alacha, L'tafa v'chal Kabbalah, and what this teaches us, so not only do we come up with this weird drasha, we then come back and say, and yes, that is why halacha is the only avoda that we can say about it, that it has a biblical anchor, but is not in the Torah. Wait, I'm sorry. The Torah said it. You reinterpret it to not mean what it says. So now it is... Right? So we need to figure out, what is the Gemara doing? How did the Gemara read the pasuk this way? And what does that tell us about the nature of Holacha and Kabbalah and the connection between them? Because there has to be some sort of concept here. Otherwise, this is, I mean, it's just unintelligible. What did we just do? Right? How did we possibly get to this very, very, very bizarre reality where the avoda that is explicit in the Torah, we decide, is not explicit in the Torah, and we relegate it to the status of Michtach Tivan, of Yishman al Malismichu, and not Michtach Tivan, and say that Kabbalah and the other one, which is the one we derive from a drasha, is. Okay. Huh. So now if you go back. So now. If you continue in the Gemara for a second, let's go back to Daf Yud Gimel for just a second, and then we'll continue here. Right, the Gemara, we read the Mishnah, now go back to the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Kabbalah mi pasla. Is it true that Kabbalah with improper intent is posel? Now, why does that make sense? Vahatanya. Ve'kriva zu kabbalat adam. Adam kabbalat adam o'en el zrika. Said, how do you know ve'krivo means kabbalah? Maybe it means zrika. Now we've gotten worse. Right? The Gemara now elaborates and says, listen, amazing. What does the Gemara never entertain hekriv actually means? Halacha, what it means. The Gemara says it's kabbalah. Then the Gemara says, oh, maybe it's not kabbalah. And you're like, oh, thank God. Maybe it isn't kabbalah. It means what it says. And the Gemara says, no, maybe it means zrika. Wait a second. You're giving me two options. It either means an avoda that's never explicit in the Torah, or it means an avoda that is already explicit in the Torah. But what it means, it definitely isn't what it means. That is the one thing I'm wholly convinced of, is that it doesn't mean what it says. It means something else. It either means Kabbalah, which isn't explicit in the Torah, or means Rika, which is explicit in the next word in the Torah, but it...
What do they do with that?
So, O Ein Ela Zrika, the Gemara says, and now the Gemara says the shocking next claim is, Kishu Omer Vizarku, well, when it says Vizarku, and you should sprinkle, that means Hare Zrika Amber. That is Zrika. Is that drasha okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. The fact that Vizarku means Zrika, we're okay, that drasha makes sense? Good, makes sense to me too. So the Gemara says, but then the Gemara goes unintelligible. And then Gemara says, Hama ani mikayim vihikrivu. Then what could vihikrivu possibly mean? A sane person at this point would say, what it says. What it says, what could it possibly mean? It means what it says. What are you doing to me? And the Gemara says, no. Zu kabbalat hadam. This is Kabbalah. And that's how we know that B'nai Aaron HaKohanim, should they be Kohen Kasher, but Klisha Arei, that Kabbalah is so much of an avoda that it needs Kohanim, and it needs a Kli.
They definitely have external motivation for wanting to say that's not Halacha.
What?
They have external motivation.
Very good. Well, we got to figure out what that is, right? Because when you read this, you're like, okay, something has to be going on. Because Gemara, it's like, it's playing with you, right? It literally says, maybe it's not Kabbalah, it's Zrika. No, it can't be Zrika, because it means, because the Zarku is the next word in the Pasuk. So what could it possibly mean? It literally asks that question. It says, what could the words, and you shall convey the blood, possibly mean? And it never once, ever, suggests the possibility that it means, and you shall convey the blood. That doesn't even enter into the realm of possibility. The Gemara thinks it is more likely to mean Zrika than what the Gemara itself acknowledges the word means. It's not like I think the word vihikrivu means halacha. Right? That would be one thing, because then you would say, well, me, Jonathan Ziering, I think the word vihikrivu means halacha, but Chazal thought it didn't. So then you would say, okay, fine, who am I? I didn't make it up. The Gemara said the word vihikrivu means halacha, and therefore derives the halacha as an avoda from the fact that we use a word that means halacha to talk about Kabbalah. And despite the fact that the Gemara is aware of the fact that the word vihikrivu literally means halacha, and actually halacha thinks that's true, it's still not what the word means. At least not directly.
I have a theory without any evidence.
Okay, one second. Now, just look at Rashi for a second, and then I'll take it. So Rashi says, "Ata Omer, Oyna Elizvika, the Halashana Krava La Mizbeach, Udechtiv La Koina Makrivoto, Vahai Nami Beha Krava La Mizbeach Mishtoi, the Hainu Zrika, Aval Kabbalah Lotzorech Kli Me'ol Moed." So Rashi says, well, what is the logic for saying that Hakrava, that the Krivu means Zrika over Kabbalah? Why did the Gemara think that was the case? Because the word Vikriv means to bring something closer, and Zrika does. You're throwing it closer to where it needs to be. So it does follow more than Kabbalah, of all things. He does, right? Kabbalah doesn't bring it there, but Zrika does. Fine, but at least it's in the Parsha. Kshomer zu Kabbalah Adam. So it is Kabbalah ba'olat Sinai. Ve'ikach moshe chatzi Adam. Ve'avagav da'akrava lashon halacha hu. And even the word v'ikriv means halacha. K'damrin le'el, like we saw in Davdalet. V'ikriv ha'kain ha'kol zu halacha levaram le'kevesh. Ha'cha kevin de zimnin. So now like, Rashi starts to tell you why we would say this, which is Kaven de Zimnin Holocha leta klal kimoa shoche bizana mizbech lo kotav lakra. So Rashi tells you in the next Rashi, Rashi tells you the beginning of his clue, which is why is the Gemara so insistent the word vihikriv cannot mean? That it must mean Kabbalah, he says, because remember, what does the Gemara say in Daf Yudalad? Yud Gimel and Yudalad. That halacha doesn't need to happen. at least according to, right, to at least according to two deot in the Mishnah, halacha doesn't need to happen. So the first clue, he says, is the reason the Gemara is convinced that it means Kabbalah is because halacha is dispensable. And therefore, if I, and we know, misvara, as Israel Isaac said, Kabbalah is indispensable. Now, yes, it's true, as Shlomo said, that it isn't obvious that it's an avoda, but it is an indispensable act. Rashi thinks that part of what's driving Chazal is the notion that if I have to choose avodot, being essential pushes you up the ladder. And therefore, Shechita and Zrika are both essential and explicit in the Torah. And now you have an option. You have Kabbalah, which is essential but not explicit. Halacha, which is explicit but possibly not essential. So therefore, the Gemara says, if I have to choose, I will read that word to mean Kabbalah and not halacha. But I can't deny that the word also, actually, the literal meaning of the word is halacha. From here, I derive that it's an avoda, but of an ambiguous nature. Hence the machloket in the Mishnah. But only because misvara, he knows that Kabbalah must happen. Right? It must happen because the blood needs to go somewhere for me to bring it to the Mizbeach. Whereas halacha, as we saw, depending on who you hold like, doesn't need to happen. So the first clue that we get from Rashi is that the reason we come up with this bizarre hierarchy is because, as Isaac said, dispensability, essential, practically essential, right? All those things factor in when I'm saying what could the pasuk mean, okay? But toch kidei, we learn something else, which is that halacha, if we buy that, if that's part of what drives the drasha, what we're going to end up with is what? What? That halacha is now going to be somehow connected to Kabbalah. Because once I reinterpreted the word ve'ekrivu to mean Kabbalah, and halacha is derived from the fact that we use the word for halacha to describe Kabbalah, I'm forced to ask, okay, well, what does that tell me? Yeah? Okay, yes. Israel Isaac, what is your theory before we try to zero in on this drasha and see, besides for the first clue, which we have from Rashi, is simply that misvara, he thinks, that which is essential, obviously essential, is more likely to be an avoda than something which is not essential. And that's why, because of pure practical knowledge of the fact that blood spurts everywhere and you need to catch it somewhere, the Gemara sides with saying that it means Kabbalah. Okay, what's your theory? Go.
This was in the Yerushalmi. The Grub would amend this whole sugya.
I agree with you. I agree with you. If this sugya was in the Yerushalmi, then someone would have said this is a typo. I agree with you. So, I agree with you. So what's your point? Okay.
That's my first theory.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Israel Isaac, for that cop-out. Yep.
My second theory...
Okay, now you're like, if I'm forced to admit that this exists... I'm just going to point out that I want to make a rabbinic pun. The problem is that who is anyone going to get my rabbinic pun? Should I try? Should I try my rabbinic pun and see if anybody gets it? What? No, no, it's not a funny pun. What? It's not funny. It's... No, it's not. It comes up in the shas all the time. Im kabbalah hi nekabel. Right? That's it. He doesn't get it. You don't even get it. Right? The Gemara several times says about Svara, im kabbalah hi nekabel. If it's a pasuk, if it's a Mesorah, then I'll accept it. V'im lav, and if not, yesh li'lav tshuva. Right? Except we're talking about Kabbalah. So you don't get it. I hate you. You didn't get it. Okay. It wasn't meant to be funny.
Okay.
It was meant to... not meant to be funny. Meant to see whether you knew shas. No, don't. I evolved. Okay. See, he actually thought it was funny. It wasn't meant to be funny. Anyways, yeah.
So,
now a theory. Oh, okay,
no,
yeah.
Actually cites this doc.
Okay, yeah.
He actually cites this doc, but it's not clear to me what he's gleaning from it. So it's very brief.
Okay, go read it to me.
Okay, so this is on Leviticus 1, 5.
Yes. Yeah.
But he cites Doc 13a, not 4.
Yeah.
So the Kribu.
Yep.
So present the blood. Beginning with the blood rite and thereafter, all other rites associated with the altar will be performed by the priests because only priests are permitted to ascend my altar.
Correct.
The manipulation with the blood, however, is preceded by its presentation. This protean verb, whose subject is the priest, clearly refers to a specific rite, see Zvachim 13a.
Correct.
But perhaps it was executed with the priest carrying the blood, collected in special bowls, in solemn, dignified procession. The ceremonial presentation of the oblation can also take the form of a tenufa.
Okay.
So he cites Zvachim.
Yes, our Gemara that we just read.
But he seems to think that Zvachim alludes to the fact that the Kribo refers to a specific rite.
Yes, it does.
Which is...
He's quoting our Gemara.
According to 13.
No, it's the continuation. No, he's just quoting the rest of Gemara.
The Gemara we didn't see?
Just the next line. Okay. So let's try to understand. The truth is, now that I'm doing this, now that I'm thinking about this, maybe the next thing we should do is actually just do Kabbalah. Once we do this drasha question, we can do Kabbalah, then Halacha, right? Go back to Gimel. Okay, but let's try to understand this, because this drasha is essential to understand two things, Halacha and Kabbalah, right? So now look at the sheet. Let's see if we can get any clarity on this. Rashi reads it as follows. Vihi krivu, zu Kabbalah. Vihi krivu simply means Kabbalah. Shehi harishona, which is first. Umashma'a lashon halacha. But it sounds like halacha. L'manush tishneim b'nei Aaron. So according to Rashi, how does he know that it's Kabbalah? So Rashi on Daf Yud Gimel told us what drove him to read it the way he did. Because it's essential. Rashi ala Torah says something different, which is? It comes first. Very good. Is that he says it's first, meaning logically you know it comes first. It has to come first. How do you know it has to come first? You collect it and then you bring it. Right? And then we use the word, so, and both of them are B'nai Aram. Now, what does Rashi seem to be getting at? What does he seem to be getting at? And this may be what Isaac was getting at, too. That what? In what sense are they connected? Obviously, they're connected, but now tell me in what way are they connected? Very good. That they're the same thing, which is, in order to bring it, you need to catch it. Right? And everyone understands that catching it is necessary because it needs to be brought. And therefore, how do I know that this implies Kabbalah? Because in order for me to bring it, I need it to be in a place, in an object that it can be brought. You can't just bring blood in your hands. And so it must be that it's caught.
But we seem to indicate in previously.
Right. Now,
I did Klishawis, and there was really a Havamina that you would just scoop it with your hand.
Right. Now, I want to show you something even more surprising. One second. I want to show you something even... You can't. You're shechting with one hand. Unless there are two Kohanim, you can't collect the blood while shechting.
We're assuming the Shokhet and Mekubal are different better.
If they aren't, then fine. But they could be. So, then... But I think even more surprising... So, Rashi follows Chazal. That's not surprising, okay? He hints at you where he gets the drasha. What's more surprising is the Rashbam. The Rashbam who is the radical Pashtan. But as we already saw earlier in the year, not only is a radical Pashtan, but what is one of the major differences between the Parshanut Alfi Pshat of the Rashbam and that of Ibn Ezra? What is the Rashbam willing to do that the Ibn Ezra is not?
Interpret halachic
psukim against Chazal, right? He has no problem telling me that Vayera Vayvoker means that day comes before night and not night before day, like Chazal. He has no problem saying that in Pshat, Tfilin is not Tfilin, but it means that metaphorically you should keep the Torah in your heart. Meaning he has no qualms about interpreting the Pshat of Pesukim against Chazal. So if I had asked you, the Rashbam, reading this Pasuk, is he going to read it like Chazal or against Chazal, right? I would have said, of all places where I need someone to give me the confidence that Chazal are being mechudash, are being novel and not reading the simple Pshat, this is the Pasuk where I would say, Rashbam is my ally. And he's not. Rashbam is like, yep, Chazal are so obviously correct in his Pshat. He says, Vihikrivu, Kabbalat Hadam Veolachato, Kedil Azar Kal Mizbeach. Catching it and bringing it. The Gam Rabotenu, Kach Bershu, and that's what the rabbi said.
Wait, it doesn't say.
Yeah, obviously, halachically. No. Rashbam says that he's willing to interpret the psukim against Chazal halacha, even though he's bound by Chazal. He just thinks that in Pshat, it's legitimate to interpret the psukim, not like that. Here, he says the Pshat is like Chazal. Pshat! Right? The Pshat is like Chazal. Right? The Maskana of our Gemara. Well, look what he says. So look how he reads it. It's Kabbalat Adam V'Holachato Kidei L'Zerko Mizbeach. The catching and bringing so that you can do Zrika. And that's what he thinks the rabbis mean. So he has a subtle difference. What is he? How does he understand it? He's similar to Israel Isaac, but what is he saying essentially? Why is it both?
Because
of
one action.
Yeah. Like, it's obvious that it's both. Like, he just thinks it's obvious that it's both because you don't even have to say that you catch it. If you're bringing something, it's something that you have in your hands. Well, how did you get it in your hands? You caught it. That's what we call Kabbalah. And he says, right?
Okay.
Right? But, you want, but, so according to him, again, he probably says something, he's probably thinking something along the lines of Israel Isaac, which is the way that we get to Kabbalah is because it's obvious. But according to him, what is the nature of the connection between Halacha and Kabbalah? Why are they connected? Because it's clear that they are actually practically linked. Like, it's not like, this is not some arbitrary drasha, right? They really are, at some level, the same. There's Shechita, and there's Zrika. And then in the middle, there's what gets the blood from Shechita to the Zrika. And that's the Kabbalah Halacha continuum. That's basically how he reads it, right? And therefore, he says, yeah, Chazal is Pshat. Meaning, now interestingly, he says that Chazal is Pshat, but I think he's actually subtly different than what we were reading. Because the simple way of reading Gemara is that the word V'hikriv means Kabbalah. And how do I know that Halacha is an Avodah? Because it uses a word that could mean halacha. The Rashbam seems not to believe that. What does he seem to believe the way the drasha works is? Is that that v'ikrivu means Kabbalah, and that what does it mean that halacha bechal Kabbalah? That literally it's they're the same continuous action. And that's what that's how we know halacha. Not because he used the word. It's that the fact that we use the word v'ikrivu to talk about the entire process of bringing the blood to Zrika tells you that how everything done in the middle is in Avoda. And that includes two sub-actions, which is catching the blood and bringing it, right? That seems to be what he's saying. Not that it's like, because we happen to use the word halacha, so we know that it's also in Avoda, but that's not what the Pasuk means. Right? He says, no, it's, we use the word halacha to let you know that, right, primarily what it means is get the blood there. Now, what is more essential to getting the blood there? Walking it there or catching it? Catching it, because you need to catch it at some point. How much you need to walk to bring it to the Mizbeach depends on where you shecht. But the fact that I choose to use the word halacha tells you that that part of this continuous action is also halachically significant. Right? That seems to be how he reads the drasha, and he actually thinks that's pshat. Now, if that's the case, though, what would you expect? Would you think that halacha and Kabbalah would be closely related conceptually? Probably, right? If that's how you read the drasha, presumably they're very tightly connected. Because the reason that they're derived from the same word is because they are really the same action. Right? They're the same continuous action. Yeah? Now, the Ramban looks at this and says, I do not know what is going on. I reject everything that you've just said until now. Okay? So Ramban says, V'shachat v'ikrivu ha-kohanim mikabala v'ilach mitzvat kuhuna. So he notes that this is the next drasha in the Gemara, which is that once we learn v'ikrivu to mean Kabbalah, right, we're going to come back to this more intensely when we get to Shechita Lavavodahi. So then the pasuk says, ha-kohanim. By v'shachat, it doesn't say ha-kohanim. From here, Chazal learn on Daf Lamed Aleph that mi Kabbalah ve'elach mitzvat kihuna. Right, from Kabbalah and on, it's kohanim. But before that, ayi shchita, you don't need kohanim. Yeah? Limar ala shchita k'sher bizar, vihikrivu zu Kabbalah, mashma aloshan halacha, manashtan b'vnei aron. And both of these, meaning Kabbalah and halacha, which derive from the word vihikrivu, need kohanim. Ve'einenu nachon. Ramban says this is all wrong. Now he acknowledges Ela Midrash Rabotenu, the Drasha in Chazal, and the Torah Kohanim already, right? Really, I gave you the Bavli, but it appears already in the Sifra. V'ikrivu zu Kabbalat Hadam. She'ein lashon v'ikrivu krivat hadam lamizbeach shi'ha'olacha. He said, you got it all wrong. Because according to Rashi, according to Rashbam, what does the word v'ikrivu mean? Bring it. Convey it. And then our challenge is to figure out how do we derive Kabbalah from that? And their answer is something like it's essential, and we understand that everything that happens between Shechita and Zrika is really the same action. Okay? So what does the word v'hikrivu actually mean? It's something I present. It actually means the act of Kabbalah and halacha, halacha along with Kabbalah, but it actually means the act. That's actually somehow what the word means, right? It means getting that, right? It's focused on the act. And therefore, it literally, and so it does mean halacha, but in order for the drasha to work, we need to bridge our understanding, the bridge, the connection between Kabbalah and halacha, and say that really what it means is do shchita, then get it to the mizbeach and do zrika. And vihikrivu either primarily means Kabbalah, and then the language tells you halacha also, or as the Rashbam seems to say, is once you take that broader thing, which is get it to the Mizbeach, we understand that it really includes two avodot, right? What we call Kabbalah and halacha, because those are the two things you need to do to get it to the Mizbeach, yeah? But the focus is on the action. Somehow this word actually tells you Kabbalah and halacha. Do we agree that that's how Rashbam all seem to follow? Ramban doesn't buy it. Ramban says, no. The word vihikrivu actually means Kabbalah and not halacha. How? Right, how? Very good. How? Because he says, vihikrivu as a verb means halacha. But he doesn't think the word vihikrivu here means bring it close. What does he think it means? Make it a karba. Make it the object, which is karov. Right? He says, aval hu lashon karban, she ya'asu min hadam karban. The word actually means Kabbalah. I mean, according to Rashi and Rashbam, does the word mean Kabbalah? No. The word means convey, which either derives Kabbalah because it's obvious, or because we take convey broadly speaking, and you need to catch it and convey it in order to convey it, right? That's Rashi and Rashbam? The Ramban says, no! Chazal are actually saying pshat! Because vihikrivu can mean one of two things. It can mean to bring close, or it can mean to make into the object defined as closeness, i.e. make into a karba. Which avoda makes which avodah makes the dumb into a karba?
So according to Ramban,
we're in Ramban. I'm talking about Ramban.
Kabbalah.
Right? Vuhu the kablo zargum is back. He his kir bivala karban hava usmicha ushrita vachare ashrita is kir bnei aron miyad. Im kain afa kabbala atzva mitzvah guna ve'ena el b'kohen kasher v'chlishart v'kol shekain holacha uzrika. So now, the Ramban is a fascinating argument. So first of all, he thinks that the word v'ekriv primarily actually means Kabbalah, right? So far, we've seen everybody thought that the word v'ekriv actually meant what? Halacha. And we derive that it also means Kabbalah, misvara. Right? That we need to do Kabbalah, so clearly it's part of it. But the word v'ekriv is the verb form of halacha. Yeah? And therefore, according to them, the fact, in order to get there, what we need to do is bridge our understanding of the connection between Kabbalah and Halacha, yeah? And therefore, when the Gemara says that Kabbalah and Halacha, or Halacha is B'chal Kabbalah, what would you expect? That we're going to see other manifestations of that, right? Because we're actually saying this is essentially the same act. Ramban doesn't read it that way. He says, the word V'hikrivu actually means Kabbalah. That's what it means. It doesn't mean Halacha, it means Kabbalah. And the way you read the pasuk is shechte, then sanctify the blood. So according to him, and this is going to become very important when we get to shechita lavavodahi, when does the karban really become a karban? Kabbalah. Right, the way he reads the pasuk is shechte, then make the karban a karban by sanctifying its blood. So what does the word v'hikriv mean for him?
Kabbalah.
Then how do I know that halacha is an avodah? Look what he says. Kol shekein halacha zrika. That once it becomes a karban, it needs to be brought and done by kohanim. Why? What? Because it's now a karban. And once something's a karban, obviously kohanim have to deal with it. And obviously it's an avodah once it's a karban. The act of Kabbalah is what transforms it into a karban. Before that, it really isn't. So why is it that the Gemara later on is going to tell us that avoda, that Kabbalah, sorry, that shechita is not really an avodah? Because when does it become a karban? At Kabbalah, when I collect the blood and sanctify it. And that's why you need kohanim starting at Kabbalah. So then how does he know that halacha is an avoda and he's calling him?
It's after Kabbalah.
Very good. Because it's after. That's it. Because it's after. Because once it's defined as a karban, obviously everything after that is significant. Obviously after that, everything is an avoda. Everything has to be done is...
So when the kohen breathes, it's an avoda?
Yeah. And he says, va'od, and he says, so what do Chazal mean by the halacha revarim point? Right, which is what Israel Isaac keeps going back to. Shalach reivarim lekevesh psula bizar, shekach darshu v'ikriv hakohen akol v'ektiram izbecha, zu alach reivarim lekevesh, imkein, af alach natam, shrich hakom v'chono. And once I know that the word v'ikriv means halacha, so then anything that's from the moment when it became a karban, and once we know conveying is significant, we know that from alach reivarim, so then conveying by blood is also significant. And anything that happens once it is a karban, is a chefza shel karban, needs kohanim and is avoda. So according to Rashi Rashbam, what does the word v'hikriv really mean?
Both.
It means both. And therefore, when the Gemara says that halacha is bekal Kabbalah, there probably are other manifestations of it, because what we're saying is that there's really three avodot. It's just the middle two avodot are connected, right? They're hyphenated, right? It's really 1, 2a, 2b, 3, not 1, 2, 3, 4, right? It's shecht, convey, which includes catch and convey, sprinkle, right? That's how Rashi Rashbam read it. And if that's the case, we should expect there to be a tight conceptual link between halacha and Kabbalah, because we derive it from the same word, because they're basically the same thing. Right? definitely Rashbam's version. Rashi, maybe not, because maybe you think what he thinks is that the kriv is Kabbalah because it's essential, and then I happen to use the language of Kabbalah, of halacha to describe Kabbalah, which means that it's related, so maybe it's a slightly weaker link. The Ramban isn't like that at all. The Ramban says the kriv means Kabbalah in pshat, because it doesn't mean bring close, it means make it a karban. The reason that halacha is an avoda is simply once something's a karban, anything that happens after it must be, by definition, essential, because it's being done to a karban. The reason that shechita, as we'll see, is less essential is because it's done before it is defined as a karban. Now, this also makes sense. What drives the Ramban to say this? I just want to, there's one point which should be self-evident. But what? But yeah, fine. It makes sense. But what does the Ramban think is true of Carbano that makes this that makes him so convinced that this makes sense? That the primary part of the carbon is the blood. Right? In order for this to be true, you have to downgrade the importance of Alach HaVivarim, of the Ivarim, right? Because he says what the word karban means is blood. Right? That's how we, yeah?
The Gemara seems essentially throughout this chapter to sort of be positive.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like what he's saying is implausible. It should be self-evident that that's what he's based on, but it actually makes a lot of sense. Because remember, the four avodot we talk about are only the avodot
Hadam.
But
this really leads to the question of why does the Gemara downplay Haftarah, which in Pshat HaPsukim seems to be the main Korban part of the Korban.
You're right, and we're going to get to that. Okay, so I think we have to stop here. You know, but now that I'm going through it, I think actually the proper logic is we'll finish this drasha, then we'll do the sugya of Kabbalah, right? And then we'll do Halacha, right? Meaning we'll do the drasha here of Halacha Kabbalah, then we'll do Kabbalah, which is Yud Gimel, and then we'll do Halacha. So actually go back to Yud Gimel, and then we'll finish this, go back to Gimel, do Kabbalah, and then finally actually get to the major sugya of Halacha. Again, I hope that we should have time to finish everything. We have one daf left-ish in the parak. But it's, yeah.
I don't understand.